guest today is Brent Steinman. Brent, how are you?
Doing good, Dave. This is my third time on the show now.
At least.
At least.
You know, you only agreed to be on the show if we promised not to use the A word.
Yep, not going to, don't necessarily want to talk about that today.
in all seriousness, you're really known for your Azure expertise, but what do you want to talk about? Let's talk about what we want to talk about. We'll make it a meta show.
Well, I figured we both look a little tired, so I could talk about what we've been doing this week, and that's kind of doing some in-depth training on a particular product we won't discuss, but it does represent the interesting challenge of how do you keep up on technology in today's age.
That is a challenge. So let's just say that Azure is the topic. You organized this this week's for about half a dozen of us came to Minneapolis. We got some hardcore training on Windows Azure and classroom training during the day, kind of roundtable discussions at night, and you just beat the crap out of us for 3 days. This is what we did.
I think we were averaging 14 hours a day for the last 3 days, so it's definitely been busy.
Yeah, and this isn't a new thing. This is having formal things like that, that's not that common, but there's always something new, some next thing that is either hot now or we think it's going to be hot in the future that we as technologists, we just have to be aware of it. We have to have some level of competency around it, whether experts or not, we still have to know about it.
Yeah, and there's so many choices to training nowadays. I mean, I can remember when I first started, it was either go to a college, pick up a book, or read a magazine. That was really the only options you had. Mm-hmm. And going to, you know, a school and taking formal classes was really the best option for structured training. Books and magazines are really kind of a keep yourself current thing. And today there's just so many more options. You have online, you know, computer-based training. You have online instructor-led training. You have numerous classroom training providers that are out there that can just do like one day, half day, or multi-day courses. Yeah. You've got blogs, you've got rich user group communities, you've got all these opportunities available to you. It almost gets as overwhelming as the amount of material there is out there to learn.
Now, what's your approach? I know you've sort of narrowed your focus to cloud computing in general and maybe Azure in specific, but even that is turning out to be a big bite to take out of the technology cookie.
Yeah, I mean,
how are you keeping up? Are you going to formal training? Are you reading books at night or what?
It's a mix. I don't do a lot of formal training. I don't even necessarily do a lot of conferences to try and keep up my skill set. Conferences that I go to, I'm either speaking, much like yourself, or it's more of a networking event. My job's to go there and meet people, either prospective clients or people that we might try to recruit.
And let me interject that that's a good way to learn, actually, is those just meeting people in the hallway.
One of the best experiences I've had all year was Microsoft actually asked me if I'd help man the Technical Learning Center at TechEd North America. And yeah, it meant that there were several hours I wasn't able to go into 10 sessions, but listening to the questions that people had, the challenges they were facing was awesome. Mm-hmm. But to take it back, you know, the cloud has changed the dynamics, and you've seen this firsthand in the course materials you went through this week. We've gone from an era where a release cadence on products was every 2 or 3 years there was a new version. We'd spend a few months learning the new version, and then we were good for the next, you know, 18 to 24 months.
Right.
In today's world, where they're releasing things every 3 to 6 months, or in the case of Amazon, every 3 to 4 days,
right,
it's almost impossible to keep up on exactly what's going on with all these different products.
Yep.
So I think in today's world, the problem is making sure you stay focused. You have to pick what's that thing you want to be good at and make sure you're really focusing on trying to be good at that.
Okay.
We've seen that where you get people, well, I'm a web developer, I'm a desktop developer, I'm a mobile developer. They get good at it by focusing on that specialty.
Right.
And that just limits the amount of stuff they now have to digest.
Does that mean that you can really ignore, like if you become a web developer, for example, does that mean you can just ignore desktop development, mobile development, back-end development, integration, things like that?
I wouldn't say it means you can ignore, but you don't have to pay as much active attention to it.
Okay.
There's so much bleed through between all these different things. Everybody learns from what these guys are doing. The mobile guys are learning from what the web guys did. You have to have at least an awareness of what's going on there, but you wouldn't have to say it's your focus.
Yeah.
So, like when I do cloud, I'm not a UI guy. I understand the basics of things like MVC. I've done, you know, the web-based rich client development with Silverlight, so I'm familiar with MVVM. Am I an expert? No.
Right.
Can I build an MVC website using the templates in Visual Studio? Heck yeah. Can I make minor modifications to it? No problem.
Yep.
But you want me to start getting hardcore and really adding value to you as, you know, a project sponsor? Yeah, put me in the middleware.
Or to staff on that tech ed booth. There's only a few things you can actually be good enough to do that.
Yeah, so you know, it's good to have a breadth of skills, but you always want to pick those one or two things that you really want to be the expert at. Maybe you're going to be the data access layer guy.
Okay.
Or maybe you're going to be the link guy or the stored procedure guy. You know, whatever it is, pick those specialties because that's where you really start.
Guy.
There you go, FoxPro. Yeah. Okay, that was funny. But, you know, even when you do that, you want to make sure you also find, once you know your specialty, pick training that works for you.
Right.
There's so many different options because there's so many different things that work for people. I'm actually a huge fan of instructor-led training.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be formal classroom training. It can be getting three or four buddies together over the course of a night, you know, or several nights. You know, you meet once a week, every night for 2 to 3 hours over beer and pizza to talk about whatever the subject is.
Yep.
To me, having other people to bounce those ideas off of and have those discussions with, similar to what you and I did last night at dinner,
we're writing pseudocode on the tablecloth.
Yeah, they had the paper tablecloths and we're whipping out pens and doing designs and stuff on. That gets everybody excited because you start getting that exchange of ideas going. So not only are you learning the material, but everybody's brain's going to interpret the material slightly differently, and as you start discussing those differences, new things come out of it. You really can't get that if you're sitting in the dark at home on your couch with your laptop and a set of headphones in watching some pre-recorded podcast.
Right.
Now, the podcast is fine. You're going to get some information out of that. But it doesn't have as much value, at least for me.
It's not as dynamic. So that sounds a lot like pair programming. Have you ever done any pair programming?
I'm actually not a huge fan of pair programming, but I love working
as described team. Sounded a lot like that.
To me, that's more teamwork.
Okay.
Paired programming is where you have two people are sitting down trying to run one keyboard.
Sometimes you have two keyboards.
Yeah.
Just alternate.
And I'm not a huge fan of that, but I do love working on closely coupled teams.
Okay.
But even within that, you're the stored procedure guy, you're the UI guy, everybody has their specialty, and we learn from each other on that, but each person has the part that they do well. At least the few times I've done paired programming, it's always, okay, you two together are going to work on this class.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not a fan.
Okay. I have had the experience, you know, like I'm sure everybody has, where hey, come here, I want to explain this problem to you because I just don't get it. And in the process of explaining to it, the answer pops into my mind, and then I answer it myself. And so just having a human being there is enough. And I've heard about some people that they'll have like a rubber duck on their monitor, and they'll explain it to the rubber duck.
I've never tried it.
I can't remember where I heard that
from.
I can use
the little stuffed bumbles that sit in the
car.
From
Rudolph, right?
Yep.
I can relate also to, we started back in Michigan, I actually started this group called the Code Slingers, and we just get together with our laptops and we just code. We just either bring a project, we work on katas, or we'll talk about a technology and bounce ideas off of each other. And I've since stepped away from running it. Some other folks are running it now. I just show up, and I'm trying to get them to do it more than once a month because I get so much value out of it, and also because I can't. Sometimes I'm out of town that day that they're actually running it. I really like to get to it, but I get a lot from that.
It's almost like a little coding guild, you know?
It's a guild, yeah.
Or the coding bee, and all the old ladies get together and write code together
coding
once a month.
Coding bee, that was a good one. We already have Code Slingers, but coding bee. If I start another one, I'd use that name. What else?
I think one of the other areas that seems to be moving fast lately is mobile devices.
Yeah.
Been a lot of talk, you know, Microsoft's getting into the game of the new tablet. We did some discussions about that this week as kind of do a tangent away from training.
It does tie into cloud computing because there's always an online component to a mobile application, or almost always an online component.
Yep, and it's also the rapid innovation thing with Windows 8 and the WinRT. That's a whole new paradigm as developers. We've got to start figuring out if we're going to learn.
Yeah, I'm just scratching the surface on that. But this is, I talked to Jennifer Marsman about this. There's an idea that we're going to be building applications that will run on the desktop, on the tablet, and our phone. And we've got to make them work on all of them. So we've got to use that paradigm to project across all of them. Each of them has different challenges.
Yes. Yes, different form factors, different connectivity, different ways to interact with it, different ways to share data.
So everything you just mentioned there isn't really a technology issue. It's more of an interactivity issue. It's a, you know, we're not learning the syntax of the code.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning about challenges of that paradigm.
Yep. Yep, the whole Metro UI has a lot of people scratching their heads. How do I work with that? And yeah, I'll admit, I've been leveraging blogs and videos lately on trying to figure out how to do actual Metro UI development.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because there's not a huge group here in the Twin Cities that's kind of latching onto that and trying to learn that, so I don't have those peers to go to yet.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. I think cloud computing a year ago is about where Metro development is now, or Windows 8 Metro development is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get into it now, it's sort of a, you're on the cusp of a wave that should peak at some point in the future.
Yep. Yep. Another idea we talked about, having something that's less formal than a user group, but maybe isn't as directly technical as something like the Code Slingers, or starting like a pub night.
Mm.
Once a month, you get a bunch of like-minded people. I talk to you guys about doing something around cloud.
Uh-huh.
We had a cloud computing user group here in the Twin Cities. Never really grew, but maybe it was thinking too big. Maybe initially we just say, hey, cloud suds night. We're all going to be at this bar from this time to this time. Show up. Look for us. We'll be around just drinking beer and talking cloud for a couple hours.
Mm.
You know, those kinds of things are...
So did you say you tried that, or you're thinking about doing that?
I'm thinking about trying it. I'm going to call up a few people here in the Twin Cities that I know are into it and see if we can find some Amazon guys, some Google guys, some Rackspace guys, even get some of the private cloud guys in there, and all of us just sit around.
I'm curious who drinks the most, the Amazon, Google, or Microsoft guys.
That depends on whether or not you're out in the field or you're on campus. I know I've had some... The idea came about some of the times I've been out in Seattle or I've been out at a conference, and all of a sudden there's an informal get-together and everybody shows up at a bar, and it's been a great time. There's been a lot of great information. I was actually inspired by TechEd for this. I'm sitting at a table watching the likes of Clemens Vasters and David Chappell sit at a table and discuss the merits of different approaches in cloud computing across the gambit and what their pros and cons are. Just,
oh, it's been amazing.
It was. It makes you feel like a complete moron when you sit in among people like that that have lived and breathed this for so long, but it was also inspirational. So.
Yeah. Are you a book reader? Technical book reader?
On occasion, not as much as I used to when I was younger, but that's one of the things I've actually turned to ebooks more and more for. So I have my little electronic reader from a certain A-name retail provider, and I've taken to buying more and more books that I may not read from cover to cover, but I'll read a synopsis of, or I'll have a friend recommend, and it's like, I'll buy them and store them in there because the next thing you know, I need to look something up and I want to reference, and there it is. I whip that out and I can do it, and it's on actually a separate device from my screen, so I'm not sticking up real estate, so I leverage those pretty commonly.
I won a book of the user group last night, and it's one it's been on my list to read for a long time. It was JavaScript, The Good Parts,
mm-hmm.
by Douglas Crockford. I've heard about this for a long time, and I couldn't sleep last night, so I got up and I read three chapters of it.
Good book.
I recommend it. Yeah, it's basic. So JavaScript, we're getting on a tangent here, but is something that I've used badly for a long time until jQuery came along. jQuery kind of was my gateway drug into JavaScript. That I finally got it once I started using jQuery. But I never really, even now, I still don't think I understand all of the nuances of JavaScript. But he breaks it down, the syntax and the grammar, and he only covers the things that you should be using, at least in his opinion. And just if it's in there and it's painful, the language is painful, he just doesn't cover it. Just don't worry about it. Makes it more accessible. So anyway, just a little plug for the book that I happened to win last night.
Cool. It was a good time. We were over at the TwinCities.net user group last night.
That was a good group. I've never been there before.
Yeah. I've been there.
60-some people there. They said that was a small crowd for them.
Yeah, I've been there several times. It is a good bunch of people, very opening. I spoke there last year. I'm hoping to speak there again this coming year. It's such a popular group here in the Twin Cities, they have no problems getting speakers.
Yeah.
They've actually broadened out now, and they'll have sometimes two meetings a month, one here in the southern Twin Cities metro area and another one that's actually right in downtown Minneapolis proper. So.
Mm-hmm. I found this a great way to learn. I run a user group back in Michigan. And last night's, I've forgotten the fellow's name. I'm not doing him justice, but he did a really good talk on performance testing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What about blogs? Subscribe to blogs still, or
yep.
Do you just wait for somebody to send you a link?
No, I keep track of the blogs that I try to watch. I try to set up an RSS feed, which is a great way to not have to go check the blog every day.
Right.
Especially if you're using, say, like Outlook, you can just plug the RSS feeds, do a quick scan, and say, do and don't care.
Yep.
I do that quite often, but even then, there's so much, it's hard.
Yeah, it's like a water hose.
Yeah.
I used to do that, and I've sort of switched to just using Twitter as my RSS feed. Someone will mention an article and recommend it there, and then I'll go check it out.
Yeah, I definitely do that. I do this Cloud Computing Digest thing, and a lot of the stories that come in there come from people I'm following on Twitter. So.
Okay.
Definitely a good news source. But speaking of technology, we should probably cut it short, and I got to get back to working on something.
You got a day job, don't you?
Yeah, I got a day job.
Brent, thank you so much.
Technology is much more fun when you do it with friends.